Cody Coates.
Hey, Joe. Hi.
How you doing tonight?
I'm pretty good. You know, I've filled up all of my rings on my Apple Watch, so it's a good day. I feel like I've accomplished a lot.
How many times did it tell you to stand up today? I'm just out of curiosity.
It didn't.
Wow. Okay, so yeah. You were active enough that it did not have to tell you to stand up. That's impressive.
Yeah, I mean, during the week, I usually don't get any, like, hey, stand up, until, like, late at night when I'm at home and I've been home from work and I'm just, like, sitting on the couch being a potato. Mm. And then during the weekend when I'm just sitting on the couch being a potato. but other than that, yeah, I usually fill up those circles.
I feel like as much as I don't want our shows to be like the Apple Watch show, I feel like it's just going to naturally come up throughout each show, just little things here and there as you use it and you kind of find your groove with the device. But we do have some follow-up, so why don't you bring us into that?
Tesla finally had their event that they teased like a month ago. They're making batteries. Surprise, surprise.
The Powerwall.
And then what was the other one called? The like Power Pack.
Oh, I didn't know that. I thought it was just called the Powerwall Tesla Home Battery. Like, I'm on the website.
Maybe that one. But then there's the Power Pack, which is like the super one that businesses will use.
Yeah, it has multiple. It has multiple power walls, I believe, the Power Pack. I'm pretty sure you can actually stack, not literally stack, but I'm pretty sure you can connect up to like 9 power walls.
Yeah, they go side by side.
Which is pretty wild. And if our listeners are kind of scratching their head as to what this product is, it's a home battery. But it's a home battery that Tesla has created that is really energy efficient and has a very small footprint. I don't know about you, but it looks kind of like a coffin. I know that sounds crazy,
yes.
But I'm looking at
the hood of a car. That's the other thing I saw.
I don't know. Every time I look at it, I think coffin. Like, it's coffin-shaped. I don't know.
Very
maybe
morbid.
That's really morbid. I apologize. But, yeah, I mean, this is, you know, I feel like Elon shouldn't have teased that, like, oh, this is going to be, we're announcing something brand new and it's not going to be, you know, car. But, like, this is just, it's in their wheelhouse. It's a battery.
I think there was – it got a little too hyped up because he was like, we're going to announce something new. And then I think a little too much hype built up. And so I think that's what that tweet the week before last was like, actually, hey, we're doing a home battery. Don't think anything crazy. Did you watch the keynote?
I did not, but I heard he actually did a pretty good job.
I mean, it's pretty good. It was like 15 minutes, though. It was pretty short. I thought it was going to be really long, and because I saw it, you know, pop up like the Tesla event, the entire thing, and I was like, I don't have time to watch this. But then I clicked the link, and it was only like 15 minutes long.
Hmm.
It was pretty decent, but a lot of the things he kept saying was like, it will only take this many power packs to, you know, eliminate the electricity needed for all houses, and then it would take only this many power packs to take off all energy needs for the entire U.S. and only this many for the entire world. And I was like, Elon, who's going to buy those? Why don't you just buy them? Like, you're making them. You have the money, I assume. Why don't you just take the world off of energy and do it?
Yeah, I mean, as far as the tweet goes, I'm now almost curious as if he tweeted that prematurely without asking his marketing advisors, because I don't know if someone in marketing...
Oh, I don't think... He's not that stupid.
Yeah, I don't know if someone in marketing would have had to do that a month early. But as far as the technology goes, it's impressive. And the fact that he, you know, Elon and Tesla as a company has invested a lot of money in R&D on making these types of batteries, I cannot wait to see, you know, what they will be able to do in 10 years' time. I think that they are asking the right questions and they are finding really unique solutions. And I think I cannot see the
pretty solutions too.
Yeah, I don't think that I could see the big picture right now, personally. But I don't know. I feel like I have enough trust in him that they have a big picture, if that makes sense, that they have this plan, whether that's a 5-year plan or a 10-year plan on what they're going to do with these products. It piques my interest overall. But, like, does this do anything for me as a person right now? Absolutely not.
I think, unfortunately, that's, we're not going to buy a Powerwall and put it in our apartment. Like, you know, I think that's a lot of people that it's just like the car. Like, I would love to buy a Tesla, but it's too expensive and I don't drive. And I would Powerwall. Man, that sounds great. Oh, wait, I rent an apartment. I can't put one of these in. And I think that's where you and I fall. So it's really kind of hard to get a full grasp on it. But it's super cool. Super cool tech.
So first on our topic list is about the former Apple VP of retail, Mr. Ron Johnson. And if people are unfamiliar with his background, he is most known for his 12-year tenure as the head of retail. Him and Steve Jobs are responsible for Apple Retail's existence from the beginning. And he obviously did an amazing job building the Apple Retail empire that we know today of the 400-plus stores. And he left the company and he went to JCPenney, which was a very odd move in my opinion. And his tactics over there did not work out as well as it did at Apple. And in 2 years' time, he was kind of forced out of JCPenney's. And at that point, he kind of fell off the mainstream news, or at least off of my radar. But he surfaced recently with a new startup called Enjoy. Now, Cody, have you had a chance to read up on this startup?
I mean, I get the general gist. They are going to be the quote, think Best Buy's Geek Squad for the online generation. You can buy products that are hundreds of dollars, technology products, and then they will come to your house and help them set them up for you.
Yeah, so essentially, yeah, you're having your own personal setup assistant, but to the consumer, there's no additional cost. So you see that there's a drone. There's a drone that costs $1,100, and this drone costs $1,100. You know, regular price everywhere, Amazon, Best Buy. If you buy this drone for $1,100 from Enjoy at zero cost to you, someone will come over wherever you want them to come. That could be your office, your home. You could tell them to meet them at Central Park, as long as it's like within the boundaries of where Enjoy. I think they're calling them Enjoy. I don't know if they're called experts or something like that. And they will not only set it up for you, but they'll kind of give you a little mini training on how to use it. Apparently the back end of this, like the back end dealings and how they're going to be profitable, is that these big ticket items have a pretty high margin on them to begin with, and Ron Johnson apparently has figured out a deal to get them at a lower cost, I believe, and make some profit off of the product. And another interesting thing that they're doing is they're not running their own kind of warehouse with a ton of availability. It's interesting. The actual back end and how this company is going to operate, it fascinates me. I don't know if you saw my tweet earlier today, but
nope.
You did not?
Mm-mm.
But I did have sources tell me that he has been aggressively poaching Apple retail store employees, specifically Grand Central employees. And apparently he has taken all of the top talent, and there has been a mass exodus from that particular retail store. I can't speak for any other retail stores, But since, I mean, it makes sense, you know, he's right now, I think it's opening up in New York, Chicago, and San Francisco. I could get those cities wrong, but it's a select amount of cities, and he wants kind of the top of the line talent. So he's pulling from the pool of people he originally pulled together, which I find really funny.
I mean, when you think about it, like, how many times can you remember when we were working at the Apple store being asked by someone, oh man, I would just love if you could just come help me set this up at home? Or, you know, like, we would get offered to
all the time
be like, hey, you know, can you just, you know, come over and I'll pay you and just help me set this up? And it's like, no, that's, you know, that's not my job. And, you know, we didn't do that explicitly. And it's funny to see him see this thing that he knew Apple employees didn't do. And now but it's a service that tons of people want, and he's making it happen. It's a great idea. I'm going through all the kind of products they sell, and I noticed they don't really sell any Apple products. They sell some HP and Lenovo computers and some Microsoft and Lenovo tablets.
Yeah, so Apple is not on board, but AT&T and carriers like that are on board. So in turn, the only Apple product they can really sell is the iPhone and some iPads.
Probably the iPad. Yeah.
Which I found very interesting. And I think the story to look for and to kind of watch out is, can they be profitable? Because I think that this is not targeted towards me and you.
No.
This is targeted to an older demographic.
Well, I also think it's targeted at just people who are too busy to do this, and they don't want to think about this. They're not really interested. They want to have the tech, but they don't care about getting it set up or, you know, getting it going. They just want it to work.
Yeah.
you know, it's funny.
What?
I'm looking at, so if you go on the website, you can actually meet the faces of Enjoy and meet the experts, and it's funny to see people that I know.
Oh my God, really? I got to go on that later and see. We'll talk offline about that. Wow. So moving on, I wanted to talk about Apple Pay a little, because over the past couple of weeks, companies who originally did not support Apple Pay when it initially launched, not because they couldn't technically, but they thought that they would maybe jump on another company's bandwagon.
They were under contracts already with these companies. Like, they had signed contracts before Apple Pay came out with MCX, right?
And MCX and Currency. I don't know if they're the same company or if MCX is the parent that makes the product called Currency, which is a terrible name. Home Depot and Best Buy are both going to be switching over to Apple Pay infrastructure. I think everyone saw the writings on the wall when it first came out. When it first came out, for the first maybe day, you were able to use Apple Pay at any contactless payment system. So if you were in Rite Aid or CVS, it would accept it. And then all of a sudden, they all put in a block for it. And that personally pissed me off a lot, because living in New York City, you rely on those places like CVS, Rite Aid, Duane Reade. I kind of said this in the beginning jokingly, like, oh, I'm going to only shop at Duane Reade for now on. But I'll be honest with you, unless it's a very specific edge case, like they're not open, or I'm in an area where there's only a Rite Aid or CVS available, I'm shopping just at Duane Reade. And not exclusively for everything, but when I need to pick up something quick for convenience, I will seek out a Duane Reade because I can use Apple Pay. And
There's plenty of times. Like on 14th Street, there's a CVS on 6th, and then there is a Walgreens/Duane Reade like two blocks down on 5th. So it's like, obviously, two blocks, I will walk there, because it's just, Apple Pay is so much more of an easy experience, and it's just quick, fast, easy to do, that I would choose that experience for an extra two blocks walk.
And I know I said this in probably one of our first episodes. So our loyal listeners will probably be able to recount this. But I, as I told you, I've had my identity stolen on a number of occasions. And I haven't really talked about it since on the podcast. But Cody, I will let you know that since our first podcast, I've probably had my debit card compromised two more times.
Wow.
And
maybe you should change your name.
No,
maybe it's your name.
and it just sucks because, you know, in New York, sometimes you got to go to these like shady places to get stuff in, like these little bodegas and
on the corner. You need bread.
Yeah, and it's just, and you have to swipe your card, and I don't really carry a lot of cash, and I do it, you know, obviously reluctantly. But it's becoming a real pain in the ass. And of course, you know, then I get the replacement card, and then I forget to add it back to Apple Pay. And then I try to use Apple Pay and I'm declined. And I'm like, oh, God, why am I declined? And then I realize that my old card's programmed in there. And it's kind of a nightmare. Although I did – you may have to confirm this, or someone else had. I've heard of some banks being able to auto-recognize when a card's declined and issued, and they swap it out in your Apple Pay for you. I could be wrong.
Mine did that.
Yours? Oh, yours did that.
Yeah.
Okay, that's really cool. That is pretty awesome. But yeah, I mean, this currency nonsense. If you haven't heard the backstory, it's not even a contactless payment. You would still have
it's
to
a
open
QR
up an
code.
App. Yeah, you still have to open up an app. You still have to use a QR code. The whole benefit, at least according to them, of using it would be like you would get special discounts and stuff like that. But is it really secure? No, your data is not on a secure chip on your device. It's still somewhere stored. I'm happy to see that people aren't renewing their contracts and they're just jumping at the chance to convert to Apple Pay, because it will be a nice life when most of the places you go to, you can use Apple Pay. And I do have a quick story to tell you, Cody, that is like, seriously, Apple should use this in like their marketing material. So my sister just purchased an iPhone 6 Plus. And I just so happened to be back home with my family, and she brought the 6 Plus home. And of course, I'm helping her set things up. And
well, she didn't have an Enjoy expert, so.
No, yeah, I'm a personal Joy expert. So I went over there, and I set up Apple Pay for her. Great, really simple. Got her, you know, all the basics. She's an iPhone user, so she obviously knows how to use the phone. It's just the new features showing how to, you know, train all of her fingerprints and such. But okay, so that was like on Sunday. Monday, I got a text from her, and it says, thank God you set up Apple Pay on this new phone, because I forgot my wallet at home today. And I remember you told me that Panera accepts Apple Pay, and I was at Panera, and I realized I didn't have my wallet, and the person at the counter saw that I had an iPhone and said, why don't you try to use Apple Pay? And they taught me how to use Apple Pay on the spot, and I was like, oh my God. I was like, oh my God, I wish I could just send this to Tim Cook. I was like, he would be smiling. He would be absolutely smiling.
Well, I mean, it's like every weekend when I go to the gym, I take my keys and my phone, and I have my watch. Like, I don't have to bring my wallet anymore, and that way, like, go to the grocery store afterwards, like, that's it. Like, I don't need to bring anything. And it's so nice to be able to leave the house with just like minimum.
Yeah. So moving on from Apple Pay, a couple of things have come out over the past week or so that are WWDC related, I would say, because they will most likely be announced at WWDC. So why don't you take us through our first one, Cody?
So Beats. Right? The Beats is supposed to be coming out at WWDC. Did you see the story about how people are speculating that Apple's like trying to kill off Spotify free?
Yes, I heard that, and I'm very interested. I mean, if there's anyone who can coerce labels, it's Apple, because they did that with the original iTunes content deals. But that is
and they've got the, what's his name? Jimmy
Iovine.
Yeah.
Yeah, I found that really interesting. I'm also really curious that if they're going to keep the Beats branding.
That's what I want to know.
In whatever music service that they premiere.
Well, I mean, so we've seen with iOS 8.4, we've kind of the beta, we got the screenshots. They were on 9 to 5 Mac is where I saw them. The screenshots of the new music app. And that's why I have always leaned towards iTunes Radio as like a streaming solution, is I just like it all in one app and easily being able to switch between content that I own and then content that I'm streaming, you know, borrowing essentially. And I don't want to have to like switch between things. So I think Apple's the one to do this, of creating a seamless experience. And I just hope that they can execute it well in the 8.4. And I don't want them to keep a separate Beats app just because I don't want that. Like, because if Apple releases a streaming solution like Spotify, I would definitely switch over because of their catalog and it just probably being integrated into my phone much better. But I don't want to have to like switch between the music app and the Beats app when there's, you know, content that I want to listen to that I own versus that isn't available for streaming.
A couple of things I find interesting that I've read. So apparently they're in the works of negotiating unlimited skip, which right now the skip limit is 6. A couple other things that are interesting. So now that we have iOS public beta, so let's just assume that iOS 9 is announced and this new music service is announced. iOS 8.4 is in the work, and this is pretty rare because generally they wouldn't be working on another major point dot update release on a previous one. But it seems like they want to get this streaming service out prior to like the next iPhone, which would presumably be in September. Yeah. So I find that interesting, and I don't know if it's because they're opening up a beta. I don't know why they would want to. Maybe it's just that these content deals need to start now. But, you know, that's interesting. And then the other tidbits that have come out, and these are small things, but iOS 9 is going to adopt the new Siri look on Apple Watch, which I hope that's true because I really like those colorful sound waves. And the other thing is that they're apparently, you know how they come out with a new default background with every new OS release? Mm-hmm. This default background is going to have like a greenish blue.
So clearly that means that, you know, blue, green, ocean, water, next phone's waterproof. Bam. Call it.
It would be a nice slap in the face of Samsung because you know my anger with them for getting rid of the waterproof ability. But moving on to another WWDC rumor, Brian Chang, I believe, at the New York Times, or Brian Chen, I apologize, my mispronunciation. He had a scoop about the new Apple TV and how its remote is going to have it's going to be a big upgrade. It's going to have a larger footprint, which we all want and which we all welcome. I think this
so
is
we
like
don't
one of
lose the damn thing.
Yeah, this is one of the first times where we're all like begging for a larger footprint device from Apple, and it's going to have some touchpad capabilities. I don't think Brian Chen said it specifically, but now everyone's wondering if it's going to have force touch capabilities built in.
Oh, it's got to.
And I couldn't be more excited. I mean, like, listen, like some people who jumped at midnight to buy the watch, whatever this Apple TV is and whatever it costs, I will be that person. Even if I don't have to be up in the middle of the night, I will be that person ordering an Apple TV because that right now is kind of my lifeblood at home.
What if they give you all they do is update the remote?
Well, now you're getting really in far-fetched territory, Cody.
I know, but you said you were so diehard about this. I'm seeing how diehard you are.
But I'm more diehard about the idea of a brand new Apple TV hardware. Not necessarily the remote. I mean, yes, I spent 5 minutes, no exaggeration, looking for the Apple TV remote because I refused to use the app. It's annoying. And of course, where was it?
Because the app's terrible.
Where was it? A couch.
In the couch.
Cushion.
Yes. Well, so what we have is the Harmony remote that's set up to just control everything. So you kind of say, like, I want to use the Apple TV or I want to use the Xbox or I want to, you know, switch
that's
to whatever.
Nice.
Do you think Apple would do something like that with kind of their HomeKit integration to be able to kind of kill off the Harmony remotes with their Apple TV remote solution?
I don't think so. I think the remote would have to be a lot bigger and be able to do a lot more stuff to control other things. But
I mean, the Harmony remote is just the size of a regular, you know, remote. It's got a little touch screen on it and some buttons. It looks like a regular TV remote. And if they're adding touchpad, if they're adding that,
I could see the benefit. Because the benefit is, well, if you're using the Apple remote to control your other things, you're going to be more inclined to use the Apple TV over any other device. I don't know if that's what they're targeting, but what I am interested in, and maybe you could tell me this, is when this Apple TV does come out, controlling it from your Apple Watch, because I hear that is pretty cool.
I haven't done it yet. I need to set it up. I've just been too lazy to go through the pairing process. But, you know, when thinking about this, like, Apple usually doesn't come in at the beginning of these kind of technology solutions, right? They usually come in at the end and present something really nice. And I mean, Xbox One did this with, controlling the TV, controlling everything that's connected to the TV can go through the Xbox One. Wii U has a really shitty version where you can control the TV from the gamepad on the Wii U. I think PS4 has something, but I'm not totally sure about that. Probably wrong. But I mean, a few companies have done this where they try and make their console the controller of the TV rather than the default remote that you get with the television. So I think Apple is primed to do this, and they really can, and they've kind of seen where others have fumbled, and I think they can pick up the ball and run. Man, I just did a football analogy right there.
and paired with the previous rumors from Wall Street Journal, you know, about them announcing this new TV service that's, you know, $30 to $40 a month that has, I think, over 25 channels. I couldn't be more excited. And then on top of everything, the possibilities of an SDK, you know, like getting Plex on the Apple TV and seeing.
Oh, that won't happen.
Oh, well, I'm optimistic. Or just seeing what people could do. And then the gaming factor, you know, it's a possibility that there could, you know, especially with an updated processor.
Apple doesn't care about games.
Yeah, you would think so, but this seems like to be this new Apple box, this new Apple TV box, in my opinion, will be their first. Their first real big step in the living room. And up until now, they've definitely improved their efforts over time with all these new channels that you see popping up every day on your Apple TV. But I think that they are going to market this as your device for consuming entertainment in the living room, versus where it's and I don't mean consuming just TVs and movies, but even games. And it doesn't. I'm not thinking about like Halo or anything.
Well, I think I agree with that, but I think that they're going. That's the problem. Like Xbox tried to do that. Xbox One tried to do it, and they didn't do a convincing job, at least for me. And I think that Apple, I hope that they take the approach that, hey, stay with Apple TV. It's great. We have all this TV. We have this service. You know, we have all these channels. But I guess if you want to go over here and play Xbox, like, we'll make it easy for you. So I hope they do something like that where it is like the Harmony remote, just be able to switch between the different things. But your center where you always start is Apple TV. Like that gets HDMI 1 and then everything else, you know, goes wherever you can plug it in.
Yeah, and I think they'll be a little more successful because the Xbox One, if you want to get the full experience, you have to pass it through either a cable box or some type of cable connection. And with this new rumored TV service, they want to try to bypass that, which, you know, I'm all for. Nonetheless, I'm sure we'll have more to talk about because this is the best time of the year because every single week leading up to WWDC.
Something new.
Yep, there's always a new scoop. Mark Gurman is always getting better sources, so it's going to be a fun couple of weeks, and I'm excited. But let's move on, and we have a little Apple Watch to talk about. And this isn't surprising to me, but the Apple has officially launched a made for Apple Watch third party band program. And I think that they were almost forced to do this because the third party market was going to come along whether they'd like it or not.
I agree. I think that people were already making bands, and all they needed to do was get an Apple Watch, figure out the connection, and go. And with a program like this, they can essentially make the divide of hey, these are bands that we trust and these are bands that we don't. You know, it's either got the made for Apple Watch logo or it doesn't. And, they'll be able to control it a little more. I think what's going to be funny is when a third-party band comes out that's worth more than the $10,000 Apple Watch.
Oh, yeah.
Someone releases a complete gold Apple Watch band.
Well, what this program allows them to do is they'll now, and I don't, not immediately, but Apple will eventually now carry third-party bands in their retail stores. So just like with iPhone cases, if our listeners don't know, third-party cases or any third-party products that go into the Apple retail stores, they do not go in there unless they are thoroughly tested by Apple. Abided by your specifications and we're going through your program. Apple needs to test them to make sure that they are worthy for the retail stores. And now this will allow them to do this for bands, and eventually get bands. My prediction is there will be third-party bands in their retail stores by the holiday season.
Oh, I would say earlier.
I think that people are going to come up with really clever, clever bands, and give you more style options as an Apple Watch wearer, and you'll be able to switch bands. People will be able to switch bands every couple of weeks, just depending on or to match their outfit or stuff like that. So, Oculus, a Facebook company.
That's so I know weird and kind of gross to hear.
Oculus, a Facebook company, has announced that their first consumer models will be shipping in the first quarter of 2016, and I am very excited. I don't know. Right now, I don't think I'm going to purchase one for myself. But right now, the Oculus Developer Edition. You are?
Oh, yeah.
See, the Developer Edition has been floating around in a lot of places, but I've not been privileged enough to be anywhere that the Developer Edition has been, so I haven't been able to try it out. But I just like that this is going to get into more people's hands, because then I will hopefully be able to try one out a little easier. Maybe they'll have them in retail stores and such. They're marketing it specifically as a virtual reality headset for 3D gaming. And I find that interesting because, there's been so many Oculus Rift videos and stuff like that, and people haven't necessarily been using them for 3D gaming. That hasn't been their, purpose for everyone. I think that's why this was originally created, because everyone has this dream of virtual reality games. But I'm curious if this is going to be a more lockdown version, this consumer version. You're going to only be able to select from a specific marketplace of games, or will you have similar capabilities if you'd like to kind of unlock the full potential? People have been, I don't know if you've seen the videos where they put an Oculus Rift on someone's grandmother and they bring them back to the countryside of Italy where they were born, and it's all these touching moments and stuff like that.
I have not seen those. I have not experienced I have not had the Oculus experience myself, but a friend has one. I've heard good things about it, that it's really cool. Playing games on it is just really fun. It's a different new experience, and I think they will be opened up. I think Oculus will be a little more open. I think the problem that is going to come out is that they're going to have to compete against everyone else. So Sony has one. I think Samsung has one. And I think there's one more that's being developed, but I can't remember. Plus you have the Microsoft HoloLens. All these kind of fall into the same general group. And it's going to be competing for market share. And so either Sony locks it down and says, Oculus doesn't run on PlayStation, only the Sony one runs on PlayStation, and only PlayStation games, you know, work with it. Or if Oculus opens up and says, oh, we'll run on any platform, any console, with as long as the games support it. I mean, there are games now out there that you can just go into the settings. It's a pain in the ass, but you essentially are going into plist files, changing a flag from false to true, and then you can play it on Oculus Rift.
That's pretty cool.
When that becomes a lot easier and you can just, you know, pick up a game, go into the settings and say, play with virtual reality, I think it'll be just super cool. And as far as like gaming versus these kind of just entertainment that isn't gaming, I think it's a good move to get it to gaming, because that's gaming always hits the limits, right? Like when you buy a computer, that's kind of the question. Like, are you going to play games on it? No. Okay. Then, you know, you can go a step down. Oh, you're playing games. You know, you probably should spend a little bit more. And so if they're able to push the limits with games, I think the other experiences will just totally be really cool.
So I think I thought it would be fun to put us both on the spot. I just thought of this right now, and have us both submit price predictions of what you think this will cost for the consumer, so that when it does ship in Q1 of 2016, we can look back at episode 16 and see who got the closest price. And
Price is Right rules.
Price is Right rules, of course. And I swear, I just thought of this, so I didn't have any time to think. But I'm going to put you on the spot first, Cody. How much do you think they are going to charge consumers for the Oculus Rift?
$1.
Come on, you're gonna bank that.
A realistic prediction, I think that it's gonna be $349.
Okay, I'm gonna go a little more on the high end. And I'm gonna say, I'm toying with either $499 or $599. I want to say even. I'm going to go with the high end. Listen, I'm going to say $599. This is going to cost you $599.
I see. I don't think that, because they are dependent on consoles. Like, they're not their own consoles, so they're dependent that the person is either bought an Xbox, bought a PS4, or has a gaming rig already set up. And so it's an accessory. So that's why I went with the Apple Watch starting price of $349. Because it's also an accessory.
Well, yeah. So that, yeah, I didn't think this through, and I may have shot myself in the foot. But
yes, but getting ahead in 2016.
Well, that's the thing. That's the greatest thing about this is we don't. I'll forget by the time they announce it.
Oh, I won't. I will remember.
Well, one last thing, because you mentioned it, the HoloLens. So the Microsoft Build conference happened last week. I don't know if it's still going on, but the main keynote happened, the new HoloLens demo was impressive. Did you get a chance to see that video of the demo?
No.
Okay. Well, just to give you a little brief overview, it was kind of cool. They were showing exactly what it would look like if you had a HoloLens. So a gentleman was wearing a HoloLens, and they had this camera rigged up like if the camera had a HoloLens, so you could see what the gentleman was looking at. And it was awesome. He was able to bring a video he was watching, and it was able to follow him with his HoloLens on, and then he was able to pin it to a wall and then expand it to a humongous size, so you can, you know, have your video content act as like a 80-inch television. And that was just one thing. But they even showed like that it's running on Windows 10 and all these gestures. And it's definitely not ready by any stretch of the imagination. I think that this type of technology, this HoloLens technology, will be super, super smooth and very Minority Report-like in about 10 years. That's my prediction. I think we still have a long ways to go. But the demo that we saw at Build is not that, you know, canned video that they showed everyone back when they originally announced it. This was a real live demo, and it definitely wasn't at the quality of what you were seeing in that the initial video, but it's not that far off. And 10 years sounds like a long time, but they'll be able to do a lot in that time span. And I'm not even sure if they announce if they're even considering going to market with this product. It's still, you know, very early in development. But I was really impressed. And another thing to point out is, you know, this is not really in direct competition, or at least it doesn't look like it's in direct competition with these other VR headsets. This seems to be more of like a fully functional computer. Like, you could bring up Skype, you can bring up little things. It's definitely going to have a gaming aspect of it.
So I think you have to kind of, I would fall into the, if I had to pick one, I would go with the Oculus, because I would rather have a completely immersive experience than a like cool coat of paint on reality. Like, I would prefer the different reality to, you know, it would be so much cooler rather than having this video follow you around, that you sit down in an IMAX theater and watch the movie in the perfect setting, because you're not constrained by reality around you. You can just create whatever you want in Oculus, and I think that will lead to much cooler tech. And the mention about like being able to do Skype calls and stuff like that, that's like earlier I was saying that gaming will push the bounds of this, and the farther that kind of gaming pushes Oculus, the easier it will become for things, you know, standard software, you know, not games, to also create really cool experiences with the, you know, the ideas that gaming has kind of created.
Yeah, it's just a little unsettling to know that Oculus is a Facebook company. And like, I have no reason.
Now they'll be able to read your thoughts.
And it's just, I have no reason to be suspicious of Facebook as of right now with Oculus, because they seem to have left them alone, and they don't seem to be hijacking their announcements or anything, you know, of that nature. But
do you want to know how I think about it?
How?
I don't. I just pretend like Facebook doesn't own Oculus.
Well, on that note, I think we should wrap it up. What do you think, Cody?
It sounds good to me.
Cody, this week we have a lot of links, obviously if you're listening on a modern podcast application, you should be able to get to the links through there, but say you want to get to it via a browser, where should we send our listeners?
diagnosticsandusage.com/16.
And more importantly, and I just want to say, I know we're going to give out your Twitter handle, but listeners, give Cody a follow, because he may not tweet every single day, but when he tweets, I think it's very funny. I think it's poignant. And
I'm blushing right now.
No, I'm serious.
I didn't tell him to say this. I promise.
No, I know you didn't. Give Cody a follow. Cody, where can people follow you on Twitter?
They can follow me at CPCOATS, at CPCOATS.
At CP Coates. I am at Joe Caiati, CAIATI. I write at joecaiati.info. We will talk to you all very soon. And Cody, you have a great evening.
Toodaloo.